Welcome to the Technology Equals Equality podcast. This is episode 10. Welcome and thank you so much for joining me here today for episode number 10 of the Technology Equals Equality podcast. I'm your host, Lori Brooks, and I am absolutely thrilled to welcome my guest today, Dina Harber of Women Obtaining Wealth.
Dina, welcome and thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. I am so excited to be here and I hope this is a blessing to people out there that's listening.
It most certainly is. Thank you, Dina. Dina Harber is an online sales broker, property manager, fellow podcaster, and CEO of Women Obtaining Wealth. During our pre-interview chat, Dina was joking about starting her entrepreneurial career at the age of 10. She told me this really cute story about how she would buy penny candy before boarding the school bus, and once she got to school, she would sell the candy for 5 cents each, or 2 for 25 cents if they had some chocolate in them. An entrepreneur from the start. With a passion for helping others and a background in lending and finances, Dina started Women Obtaining Wealth, published many articles, including titles such as Money and Marriage, Your Money or Your Life, and Budgeting Before Buying. She's connected and helped thousands of people prioritize their debts and get their finances in order. Women Obtaining Wealth is an online venue creating online money-making opportunities for people seeking to be their own boss. Dina helps and inspires others to pursue their passion and follow their dreams. Dina's specialty is showing others how to substitute life's obstacles with practical solutions so that they can reach their ultimate potential. Dina, welcome and thank you.
I'm too excited to have you on our show today.
I know, I am so excited.
Yeah. All right.
So, Dina, I know my listeners are anxious to hear you dive right into your story. So tell us, how is it that you once saw the future before you decided to begin branding yourself and building Women Obtaining Wealth?
I just, from a young child, I just wanted certain things. And I was married at the time to a music producer who had his own company. I helped him get started with that. And so I always knew that I wanted to have a business of my own. I really didn't know what or how I was going to do it, but that was my whole thought process, was I need to have, or I want to have, a business of my own. And as I started, you know, working my career and doing things and finding out what I enjoy doing, which was helping others, especially when it came to finances, that's kind of how I saw myself, seeing women, especially single moms, which was a passion of mine because I was raised most of my life by a single mom.
Wow. I had absolutely no idea before this conversation that that was the story behind this company. I myself was motivated by that precise reason.
Wow.
I started off as a single mom and said to myself, I needed to build my company for me, Dina, that it's, I've been married now, you know, my husband and I met about 7 years ago, so I'm happily married at this point, but I really did start off as a single mom looking for that way to kind of find a way to help others learn how to build wealth themselves. I knew I needed to build my own company, but I wanted my company to be a company that was helping other people figure out a way to build their own wealth.
Exactly.
So that's impressive, Dina. I'm really excited to have heard that piece of that. Thank you for sharing that with us. It's an important piece and a rather personal piece. So I appreciate you sharing that with both myself and the audience as well. What are some of the first steps that you took once you decided it was time to go ahead and begin working for yourself?
Well, you know, like I said, these are such awesome questions. Really, because your audience is going to find out a lot about me, but I think it will be good because people start at different places in their lives. And at the time, I had lost two brothers, and I was living in California. And I was married at the time, and I just told my husband then that, you know, I had to change this lifestyle. I was working for a university, which was about a 30-minute drive, which in California, Los Angeles, is an hour-plus ride at times. And I told him it was enough. I had to change my life. We had to move. I wanted to move. And thank goodness, at the time, he was really, you know, okay with it. So we settled on Atlanta after looking at some other states. And so, like I said, I was married here, but things just didn't work out for him and I. And we remained friends, and that's great. But some of the things that I started doing was I really tightened up our budget. I am a budget fanatic. Because my background is in finance, I really understand the importance of balancing your checkbook and knowing where your money is, understanding or projecting how much you spend on certain categories and items. So I knew that I had to first tighten up on a budget because I didn't really know, although my ex now was still working, he's in the music business. And so he had those moments where he would make a lot and none, a lot and none. And so we had to learn how to average different money. And so that was the first thing I did, was tighten up on my budget. And then I always had these backup plans, like we can do this and we can do that if that goes wrong. Let's save this amount because, you know, we always want to make sure that at least our fundamentals are paid for, you know, gas, electricity, things like that. I started living more frugal. You know, I started not having all the toys and all the things that I thought I needed to have. And I, because I was in a new state, I had to get to know my area. I had to learn where people like me, who thought like me, were. You know, I had to learn how to network and get out there and introduce myself, which I have to tell people at the time I wasn't used to it because I had been in corporate America since the age of 17, and I had always had what they call good jobs. And so I didn't have to sell myself in that way, or I always had a paycheck. So I decided I was going to go into real estate and, you know, sell homes. And so the very best thing that I did for myself, which I didn't even realize that it was the very best thing at the time, was that I got myself a coach because I was so frightened of relying on commission to, you know, live because I had always got paid every 2 weeks. And so, hey, here I am in a new state where I hardly know anyone, and I'm going to recreate myself and pay all my bills because we did move out here and buy a home. Right. And so I was like, oh, my goodness, what am I doing? I've never, ever got paid on commission. I've always had a check every 2 weeks, knew the amount, you know, and now I'm out here thinking I can do this. Oh, my goodness. And so I got a coach, and that coach was very helpful.
That's excellent. It really is instrumental to have that mentor, to have that person who, you know, you're capable of looking to and asking those quick questions here and there. It's, you know, a piece that without it, you kind of can just flounder around and not really know where to figure out, you know, the next step.
Right.
And that's the hardest part. You know, in episode 3 with John Dumas, as he was talking, you know, he uses the phrase on his podcast, the weapons of mass destruction, you know, mass distraction. And it's so true. You know, when you step online for 2 seconds, I'm, you know, planning a couple of posts or planning some things that we're working on or doing some research, and ads are everywhere, mm-hmm. you know, and different, you know, your friends are sending you messages, your acquaintances are sending you messages. There's so many things that are going on online, when you're attempting to build a business in that manner, that it's very easy to get sidetracked or lost in that way. So finding a coach or someone that you can bounce those ideas off of, or who can really assist you in keeping directed on that path is, you know, it really is instrumental, and that's excellent that you took that,
especially when you're doing something that maybe the people that are directly around you or their mm-hmm. family and friends aren't doing. So it's really hard for them to give you positive input on something that they've never done before.
Yes. So what did you find to be the most difficult part of becoming an entrepreneur, and why did you find this to be difficult? You know, how did you go about overcoming this?
You know, I know it may be different for different people because when I was networking, a lot of us told our personal stories of how we, you know, got to where we were at the time. For me, the most difficult part of becoming an entrepreneur is you have a lot to learn, and you have an idea, and a lot of times you are not 100% sure of how to go about doing things. Mm-hmm. And if you come from a line of business owners, you're probably in a better place because then you have, like I said, someone to go to that can let you know the. Because there's some realistic parts of being an entrepreneur that a lot of people don't talk about, which are the hard parts. A lot of people I found can relate to me having an experience, a bad experience or a tough day at the job. But they can't really relate to me working from home and having to make sure that I get everything done in a day, because if I don't sell anything, I don't make any money. And so they may be looking at it as, oh, you work from home, and so what's your, you know, you don't have anything to worry about. But what they don't understand is I'm working from home, but I'm trying to do everything I possibly can in order to be successful in making sales, because without sales, I do not make money, and therefore I'm not able to pay my bills. So
precisely.
People have a hard time relating, which sometimes causes isolation to an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
And there's stress and things that happen that come about because you're relying on your skills and your technique to make things happen. And not all the time things are going to work out in your favor. And you have to constantly be willing to change and learn and do things different and fail. You really do. You have to understand that failing is really a part of success. Some things mm-hmm. are going to happen, and it's going to make you feel like you're failing. But really, it's a lesson to be learned, and you have to learn that lesson, get back up as fast as possible, regroup, and get going again. And that happens a lot. And so you can't get stuck on what didn't go right, but you have to learn why it didn't go right, try to fix it, and move on.
Definitely. And you know what? I'm going to bring it back just for a quick second for my audience, because what you stated was very important. But I'm going to create a mindset shift for yourself and the audience right now. There's no such thing as failure. There's only feedback.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause the only time you fail is when you stop.
Exactly.
That's it. Yep. The only time you can fail is if you give up. When people provide you feedback, you take that feedback, you adjust, and you keep moving forward. And just like you said, you just keep moving forward. It's one of those moments where, those failures, those moments, those letdowns, those struggles, if you let yourself get caught up with them, if you let yourself give up, if you let yourself get down and don't keep that positive mindset, you never get anywhere. Whereas, you know, I know you've done it, and it's something that I talk about in our course that we're going to be producing to everybody soon. Your mindset is something that you have to find a way to keep positive for yourself. You have to find little things throughout the day to make yourself keep that positive mindset, because there are so many things in everyday life. So many things in everyday life, from driving, because I used to have the worst road rage before I decided to make a mindset change. I really did. I had the worst road rage. I live in Boston, okay? Wow. People on these roads are crazy. They're just crazy. And I was one of them. I'm not going to lie. But I understand that, you know, there's so many things that come up in everyday life when you're driving. Somebody cuts you off, or, you know, it's the everyday moments, everyday frustrations that can simply get to people who allow it to get to them. Whereas if you choose to not let things get to you and you make that mindset shift, and, you know, you can focus and keep moving forward with the positive side. When did you know that it was time to begin creating a founding team and begin designing, you know, designating roles and forming your operational procedures?
I think some of the indicators for me was I was falling behind, and I was so busy that things weren't getting done. And then, you know, you need input on how to do things. Like, I built my own website, but there was so many things I didn't understand or know how to do. And so you're always evaluating yourself and looking at where you want to be versus where you're at and how to get there. And so you meet people when you start networking and talking and realizing, hey, maybe I need to get someone to help me with marketing. Maybe someone can help me design a better website. And when you start getting the input and you're realizing I'm growing or things are working or I need to spend more time doing this than that, and when you're realizing that there's a lot of repetition in certain tasks that you do, you may look at it as, okay, well, this is something that's repetitious. Maybe I can hire an assistant or someone to do these tasks for me, which is taking up some of my time so that I can focus more on this task or getting more business, because that's where, you know, your money is going to come from. So you just start looking at and evaluating what's going on in your business, and especially things that you find yourself doing that are repetitious. You may want to start saying, okay, that's what happened for me. Okay, maybe I can get someone to help me with this, because I'm forever packing my items, sending them to Amazon, to their warehouse. So that process of printing out shipping labels, putting things in poly bags, packing them up in boxes, that's repetition. And so that's something that I can teach someone to do for me, and then I'll have that time to do something else, which is to bring in more business.
Certainly, creating scalable procedures, creating, you know, your operations that as you're going along, like you said, once you realize that it's something that you're doing on a daily basis, you should go ahead and find a way to delegate that task to someone else, because it's something, it's a repeatable process that you can easily hand off. Mm-hmm. Being that this is technology equals equality, it doesn't even mean that you have to delegate that task to another person. Mm-hmm. Something simple as canned responses built into Gmail for you for free. You don't have to keep rewriting emails. Just create canned response, edit as you go, make sure the information you honestly need to relay on a regular basis is included. And there's a million different resources of that sort out there now to help people streamline and go ahead and delegate those tasks, you know, to their electronics. In fact, I wrote a blog piece on that back in, I think it was April or something to that effect, you know, delegating your tasks to your electronics. But, you know, what is it that you think prospective entrepreneurs should really take into consideration prior to taking their leap?
Prior to taking their leap, they need to. I don't necessarily believe that you have to write this detailed business plan, but I believe you do need to have some things written down as to what you want to do and why and how you feel like you can achieve those goals. I think having support from family and friends or from people who understand that this is something that you really want to do is important. I think that you really have to have a plan. I mean, have a way of doing it. And I think, too, if you can take slow steps into making it happen, especially if you have people relying on your income, because your income may not be as steady as you would like in the beginning. And so you have to really take that into consideration. So you may want to take baby steps. You may want to do it, you know, part-time before you just go, you know, full force. But definitely a plan in place and to try to get as much support as you can, positive support, so that when things or if things do get off track somehow or some way, you have someone that understands that this is important to you. And so hopefully they will help you get back on track or hopefully figure out what you did wrong so that you can jump back in there and still do what it is that you want to do. Because it's important, because it just makes you, I think, being your own boss and doing what you're passionate about, it just brings such a greater feeling and joy to living this life we call life. And it makes your spirit happy inside, and you feel like there's a purpose bigger than yourself as to why you're here. And it just makes you feel more fulfilled, for me personally. And so you want to make sure that you have things in place so that you can stay that way and stay focused on that as much as possible. One of the things that helped me or helps me even to this day is to make sure I sit down and write what I'm grateful for. Even though I don't have everything it is that I want, I'm working towards it. But when I just sit down and say, hey, you know what? I'm so grateful that when I wake up, I'm not running and racing to get dressed to be somewhere at a time that is designated for me to be there. You know, that was just something that was so important to me. So whatever it is that you can think of to be grateful for in the now will help you get back to a place that helps your mind bring you so many great ideas and solutions to things that maybe if you weren't focusing or being grateful or being at a place that you can, you know, just sit down for a minute, you probably wouldn't see or hear.
I think summing that up, you said it well, exactly, you know, think big, take a step back, focus, and take baby steps forward.
Yes.
Definitely, that's excellent. What would you caution as some of the biggest mistakes first-time entrepreneurs tend to make?
You know, for me, I can just kind of speak for me, I was so used to having things happen in a certain way. A plus B equals C. You know, this has to happen, and this has to happen, and then this will happen. But in entrepreneurship, things happen differently. Sometimes things happen by just one other person meeting you and referring you to someone else who knows a lot of other people, you know.
Right.
So it may not happen the exact way you think it will happen. So you have to understand, you do what it is that you know how to do, but be open to other things happening or other ways of doing things. I would
be open to that feedback.
Yeah, open to the feedback, be open to new ways, be open to technology. Be open to meeting and talking to someone that you may have never seen before, like you and I,
exactly.
but have a common interest and want the best or want to succeed in life. I personally think that for myself, I had so many restrictions and so many, I just thought that if I did things a certain way, that then everything else would work this certain way, and I had to learn how to adjust to things happening differently, and for things for me to just having to keep working on myself in various areas and learning new things all the time, and like you said, accepting feedback. And figuring out, okay, that didn't work, let me try this. And being okay with that. And being out of my comfort zone. Because not all the time will I know the answer, but I can definitely research it and do the best I can in finding the answers or reaching out to other people who I may think know the answers or can at least point me in the right direction.
Certainly. And you're right. There's no set path to success. There's no set path to business ownership. There's a formula to success. You know, it's hard work, determination, you know, motivation, perseverance, you know, willpower and recognition of self. You know, there's definitely a formula to it, but of course the road and the variables in that formula look very different for each and every person. You know, and look very different from every person's set of eyes. So even if, you know, the path that we thought we set out for ourselves, like you said, it's not necessarily the path that we end up walking down. It's not the way it doesn't necessarily look the way we imagined it initially, you know, so that's, it's the truth. You have to kind of go with it, and again, that's our running theme today, keep moving forward, because, you know, you can't stop simply because the road or the path is not looking precisely the way someone else is or the way you imagine that path would look.
Exactly.
So, definitely. So we're going to wrap it up here in a couple of minutes. But Dina, I just, you know, we have one last question for you this morning, and take a moment if you'd like to think this one through. But if you had a magic wand and could change anything at all in your business, what would it be and why? How is it that this pain impacts your business on a day-to-day basis, you know, operationally, procedure-wise, or, you know, just in general, how is it that your business is impacted on a day-to-day basis?
Wow. I am currently, Women Obtaining Wealth, what we do is we create money-making opportunities via online businesses. So I sell, like I said, to people everything from books to books and usually online, using various platforms, i.e. eBay, my own website, Amazon. So I'm really impacted by the laws that are governed, which are starting, online businesses are starting to get a lot of attention from political figures as far as, do we have to pay sales tax, and just different things that are governing the online industry right now, because it's such a huge industry. I guess the magic wand I would like to create, though, for my business, create this grand marketing. I just want to be this marketing genius. I want people just to be, just buy from me anything I sell. Just, oh, that's from Dina. I gotta buy it, you know? Oh, that magic wand would be great, because, you know, introducing yourself, like you said, people are getting images and ads and everything just thrown at them all day long. And so, you know, you have to really stand out. And what I'm finding online is, for a business, people have to feel like they can trust you, because they don't get a chance to meet you. They're not walking into your brick and mortar store. You know, you're not a worldwide commercial brand, and so they have to get to know you. So I guess I want the magic wand to make people get to know me and trust me, and my marketing is just outstanding. And so anything that I put online to sell, they just automatically buy it.
That is excellent. Well, I hope my listeners are hearing that fully. Guys, do you hear it? Go visit Dina. Go check her out. Go see her page. You can link to her through the show notes page at technologyequalsequality.com. Dina, please share the best way for our listeners to find you.
The best way for them to find me is to go to my main website, which is womenobtainingwealth.com, and there you will see the other avenues we use in order to make money online, which is a business called Urban Sick, or like I said, I'm on Amazon, the CEO of WOW, or eBay. So the Women Obtaining Wealth will have all the links and the locations in which you can find out all about us. So womenobtainingwealth.com is the best way to reach me.
Wonderful, Dina. Thank you, thank you, thank you again for joining us this week. And thank you, my listeners, for joining me here for episode number 10 of the Technology Equals Equality podcast. Don't forget to reach out to Dina at womenobtainingwealth.com, or you can always reach her through our show notes page at technologyequalsequality.com/Dina. I have to share, I am so super excited about this relaunch. Everything is finally flowing smoothly. No more hiccups in recording or scheduling or getting things posted. So, woohoo to a successful relaunch episode number 10. And thank you, my listeners, for making it possible. And until our next episode, where we continue to hear the journey, find the pain, and create solutions, enjoy the week.